It's time for our Divine Purpose Insights podcast for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Molitor, Divine Purpose Coach and Spiritual Activist, and your host for this weekly program. You can find out more about me and how to subscribe to this podcast at beingfreenow.com. This week, I'd like to talk about balance. It's one of those typical life coaching topics. They say it's essential to have balance in your life. Yes, indeed. That can mean a lot of things. Usually it comes up in terms of time use, that we have a balanced life that includes a good amount of play along with work, rest along with activity, alone time as well as people time. These are typical ideas that we might want to be alert to in discovering that balanced life. But I'd like to delve a bit deeper maybe into the whole concept of balance and how to find our own true and authentic balance. First off, if we measure a balanced life by how much time we spend at each activity, we get into what I find maybe too limiting and self-conscious to really be a lot of help. Balance is about poise and steadiness. It's about a sense of equality that feels complete and whole and peaceful. It should feel freeing. And while we may need to make some conscious choices in order to feel more balanced, this personal sense of balance is best when it comes via inspiration and then not regimentation from within and not by some prescribed steps. I don't think balance is a one-size-fits-all thing because it really isn't something we attain through outside practices so much as something we discover through conscious awareness, which leads to those just right actions that suit us best each day and moment by moment. True balance is already ours. We were made to be in perfect accord. We were designed by God with a perfect blend in mind, one which is both calm and dynamic, watchful and engaged, strong and gentle, active and receptive, to find that life that feels just right is to recognize this natural balance within us and yield to it. When we accept our innate right to peace, for example, we find it's not out of reach. It isn't necessarily about becoming something we're not, but about awakening to those parts of us that we may neglect. The natural balance of qualities is already there. It just needs our active attention and acceptance and utilization. We need to cherish those qualities and realize the reality of them and the presence of them. Again, I don't think it is about how much time we spend, equal hours of play versus work, sleep versus being awake. I think it is about consciously honoring these qualities and allowing them to come forth. When we do this, we find that we have a sense of spiritual poise, and we know that the balance is there not because the time element is equal, but because we feel in harmony with our own being. We feel well-being. So if you're working and working and working and you feel energized and joyous in that work, in that day, then it may very well be that you're working that day is equally balanced with joy. So there's a rightness to that. So it isn't that we need to counter that work with rest. It may feel perfectly right just as it is, particularly in that day. The joy has balanced the work, right? So let's say we're doing a lot for others. We're caretakers, and this kind of caring is something that makes us feel good about ourselves. It's what we love to do, and we don't think of it as a sacrifice. And yet one day we may find we're feeling less joyful in it, less motivated, more drained by it. Does this mean we have become selfish? Does this mean that our natural giving nature is not so giving after all? I doubt it. What this may indicate is that things are out of balance. The helper in you may just need to balance out the giving with the receiving. Yes, we receive the reward that comes just because it feels good for us to help. That is a reward. But we're undervaluing that equally precious side within us that also wants to feel cared for oneself. This isn't weakness, it's balance. It's that humble ability to receive love as well as to give it. We were made to do both, and when we miss one aspect of that, we feel out of balance. So we start by recognizing that and honoring that true balance that is not selfishness. It's aligning ourselves with our true and best nature and honoring what God made us to be, givers and receivers, lovers and the beloved. So in this situation, it may mean we need to find that balance that focuses on receiving rather than giving. It may start with self-care. And that is a change in consciousness even more than it is going to a spa for a massage. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it means that we allow that desire to feel cared for ourselves to have free rein in our thought without guilt or self-justification. We're simply yielding to the balance of our being. This is not only giving ourselves license to take care of ourselves, it's coming into balance with what God intended, which doesn't leave another in the lurch, but reveals the harmony that helps us and everyone else. It's God's balance. So here's a few more thoughts on balance that might be helpful. I read this a long time ago in a talk by lecturer and teacher David Driver. He had these wonderful ideas to share about balance, and I haven't forgotten them. They come back to me often, and they've been helpful. So I thought I would just share them with you. So I'm going to quote him here. He says, "When I was an architect concerned with the designing of structures, I discovered something about the nature of balance that's been a help ever since. Anything that can be defined as a structure is designed to withstand forces. In designing a structure, one has to determine the forces acting on it. These can be resolved into two main types, forces of pressure, tending to crush, and forces of tension, tending to stretch. To withstand these forces, the material the structure is made of needs to have two contrasting qualities, firmness to withstand the crushing forces, and flexibility to withstand the stretching forces. These contrasting qualities, firmness and flexibility, complement each other to make a structure sound in resisting both pressure and tension forces." He goes on to say, "I found a simple illustration of this right at home in our garden. Two slender pine trees bent low under the weight of a heavy, wet snowfall. When the snow was gone, I tied them back to a larger tree to restore them to their normal position. Several years later, there was another heavy, wet snowfall. The rope on one of the pines held firm, keeping the lower part of the trunk rigid. Above the point where it was tied, this whole tree snapped off with the weight of snow. The rope on the other tree broke, so that tree was free to bend. Though it bent low to the ground, it was firmly rooted and remained whole. A firm foundation combined with flexibility saved that tree. Rigidity without flexibility caused the other to snap off. Likewise, in human experience, a rigid attitude, firmness without flexibility is likely to snap into anger or temper or break down into depression. But flexible thinking, balanced by a firm basis of sound values, can withstand opposing forces without harm. We all need both firmness and flexibility." That's the end of the quote, and I agree. He goes on to say later on in the lecture, essentially, that these qualities are truly God's qualities, which is what I believe as well and what we're talking about today. We have access to these qualities at all times. I think that what it takes for us is to be conscious of those qualities and put them to use in our lives, as I said earlier. So if we feel we're always at a point of readiness to just snap, maybe we need to allow that spirit of flexibility to emerge. We might look at in other times in our lives, for example, when being less rigid about our lives and what we expect from ourselves or others has actually served us. Was there a time when we chose to be more flexible and felt a sense of peace in the end? I suspect there were these times, and there can be again. Let that flexible you come to life and see how that feels. Likewise, maybe we're feeling a little less than grounded, we're confused and uncertain, losing our bearings. We can draw on that sense of firmness and stability. It might mean that we add a little more discipline to our lives, that we make a few more rules for ourselves. It may also mean that we take a stand for what we need, and I think most especially for what we trust our values to be, that higher principle we already know. It may mean just being more clear on what really matters and less willing to allow every whim of the world around us or our own fears to keep us from just taking a stand for that. And remember, it isn't personal you that upholds that value you believe in. It is that value that upholds you. Let its firmness keep you in balance. And allow yourself to be flexible as well, knowing that you aren't going to lose that value or your bearings by letting go. That value, that higher principle or ideal that you love, isn't going anywhere. It has room for you to breathe, and it still stays there holding you while you sway in the day's breeze and bend a bit to explore just how that feels. So think about these things. I hope that's helpful somewhat. I'm certainly happy to talk with you more about balance and how you might discover it in your life if you're not feeling it. I think it's a really fun subject. It shouldn't be something that stresses us out. It should be something that we can just discover. We all have our own natural sense of balance. And it's fun to find it. It's fun to discover it. It makes life much, much better. And even the discovering is great. So let yourself be open to discovery without pressure. I am Laura Molitor. You can reach me at lauramolitor@gmail.com, or you can go to beingfreenow.com, my website, for more information. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend.